We're talking today with Northfield Area Fire Chief Tom Nelson about a fire that happened, structure fire that happened last night, just off Highway 3 in kind of the northern edge of Northfield on Water Street. And thanks for joining us, Tom, to talk about this.
You bet, Logan. It's good to be back.
Yeah. What was kind of the situation with the call last night? It was in the evening. It was visible from the highway, so a lot of people saw this, and I'm sure they're curious what's happened now.
Yeah, and, you know, the interesting thing is I was just heading out for a walk, and, of course, pager goes off, and it said structure fire, and so then you're listening to it going, okay, is it really a structure fire? And then you hear him say multiple calls, mm-hmm. and then it's like, okay, this is... And then I just looked that direction because I know exactly where the property is. Mm-hmm. For people, it's right across the Greenvale Bridge if you were to continue across Highway 3. Mm-hmm. So there's an old farmhouse and I guess an outbuilding shed
sure.
kind of thing. And so I could see it from my house on the north end of town. Mm-hmm. So yes, we call that a working structure fire. and then I got there first. Law enforcement was already there. And of course... everybody with their phone is out already. Mm-hmm. And I knew that then it's referred to as the Nareen property. So one of our firefighters, Steve Nareen, his dad, Dan, grew up in that house. Mm-hmm. So it's a townie house. We have been working at length with Revival Properties.
Sure.
About they own that and talking about using the house as a training burn site.
Mm.
And part of it, you know, and it's a training burn isn't just like, let's set all the fire trucks there and then start it on fire and then
sure.
watch it.
Yeah.
A training burn is you use a solid house mm-hmm. and you set pallets in it. You have external training people that come in and do it.
Yeah.
So that you train your new firefighters and everyone gets a chance to go in. It's pallets and straw. So it's like a simulated fire, but you still have to find it.
I was going to say, if I'm correct, for having heard similar experiences from my dad, there's sometimes like 8 or 9 training exercises
we'll do
in a fire.
We'll usually do 15, 20
really?
Revolutions
yeah.
of that because you want everyone to
sure.
have to do that. Mm-hmm. And it's not about burning the house down. It's about using the house as a prop
yeah.
to be able to go in and do it. And then at the end, mm-hmm. You've already gone through all the permitting process
yeah.
with the DNR to do a training burn, MPCA. And then you burn it down. So that's the, you know, and people come, oh, we're going to watch you. It ain't going to be fun
yeah.
for the first 8 hours.
Mm-hmm.
So we showed up on this call and I knew that, well, we're not going to try to say this. So this was the outbuilding.
Sure.
It wasn't the house.
Mm-hmm.
The outbuilding was on fire. And then we'd worked with the property owner. When I say we, Mike Morehouse, the city building official, and I, there had been some issues in the fall with squatters getting into the property. So Mike and I, collectively issued correction orders and the property owner boarded it all up.
Mm-hmm.
It was all mowed, you know, so I knew that it was a secure structure.
Mm-hmm.
And ultimately, you know, I'll just put it this way. There was no power to the building. No mm-hmm. one was living there. What could have caused the fire? I say it's suspicious, obviously.
Sure.
Mm-hmm. So we knew nobody was in it. This wasn't something that we wanted to race to extinguish
mm-hmm.
because they wanted it burned down anyway.
Yeah.
So we were able to kind of do a hybrid of training on it, which was nice. But I'm sure if people were looking, they're like, what are you doing? A bunch of nothing.
Yeah.
But we were able to, one thing with a fire, even a training fire, you still have to keep it at bay, right?
Mm-hmm.
You don't want it just to roar. So we used the deck gun on one of the trucks, but we couldn't even get close enough to the hydrant. It was so hot when mm-hmm. I first got there. So it was, like I said, it was an interesting call because we weren't doing aggressive fire attack.
Sure.
We were keeping it at bay. And also, you know, I'll call it have some fun, right?
Mm-hmm.
Putting the new members on a line. Nobody went into the structure. So
mm-hmm.
right away I said, this is an exterior attack.
Mm-hmm.
We're not going in. We're not doing anything where we need to have air packs, where we're going to be going in. We're not rescuing anyone.
Sure.
But also the goal was anytime we've had a pole barn or a shed or anything, if it completely burns, all the tin
mm-hmm.
on the roof and the sides collapse in like a house of cards.
Yeah.
And then underneath that, it's like putting tin foil over a casserole. It's going to just cook underneath that.
Mm-hmm.
So the goal was before it collapses, we're going to put it out.
Ah, okay.
So that was kind of the, and, but so we were able to try some different hose techniques, mm-hmm. like let's march up to it this way. So it did turn out to be kind of a hybrid training exercise. Sure. But the other thing, if you drive by that site, there's a lot of power lines.
Yeah.
So we were limited. We couldn't use any aerial operations or everything. So it made it a good real life situation, where we weren't dealing with exposures. There's no other houses around there. So, all in all, it was an okay training exercise that was completely unplanned.
Sure. And so I'm curious, you know, we had a house fire near Greenville about a month and a half ago, I believe now. And then there was the house fire in November up in Dundas. Those you actually went into, like firefighters went inside,
yes.
the house. What is the difference in a more active response in those than this one where you're already kind of planning to have the structure burn down?
So in this case, also when it's, you know, you could see in, you know, there's pictures all over online is, mm-hmm. It was clearly, we call it self-vented, right? It was unoccupied. Mm-hmm. It was through the roof. It was a huge show.
Yeah.
You're not saving much at that point. Mm-hmm. You're not worried about life safety, mm-hmm. because nobody's in there. You're not worried about property, you know, saving the photo albums and things,
sure.
like that. You're not worried about it progressing through the structure.
Mm-hmm.
At that point, it's like, okay, let's just try to not have this get out of hand, and let's do some learning.
Sure.
And the goal is always, you don't want to get called back at 2 a.m.
Mm-hmm.
So you want to put it out enough. And then what was somewhat nice about this scene is there was city water. We weren't mm-hmm. hauling tankers. We weren't in a rush.
Mm-hmm.
We weren't going to get anyone hurt. And some of these new folks that got on 8 months ago, these other fires that you mentioned in Dundas and in
Greenville,
up on Juniper,
yeah,
by
yeah.
Greenville School, they're just standing outside helping.
Sure.
So this, they were where it's like, no, get on a line,
mm-hmm.
and go up, spray the window, you know. So we were,
sure.
able again to do some training that mm-hmm. is like the next step toward.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, some good came out of it.
Yeah.
One of the things that I'm working with the city of Northfield about is the only thing. We can't, like I said, we can't do a true training exercise with these new firefighters until they've had some prerequisite training.
Mm-hmm.
They just are completing their EMT training right now this spring,
mm-hmm.
and so winter, spring, and there are just no classes of any kind over the summer because no one wants to take classes
of course,
after
yeah.
hours. So they wouldn't be able to start Firefighter 1 until the fall. So what I told the property owners is we wouldn't be able to burn this until end of fall anyway.
Sure.
To have it be of any value,
mm-hmm.
of this, and I'm talking about the house that's remaining that's still there.
Yeah.
So the conversation now is, are we going to just take a pass on this,
mm-hmm.
and say, the concern is if someone, let's say somebody lit that shed,
mm-hmm.
The house is right next door.
Could they do
right?
the same?
So at that point, it's an attractive nuisance.
Yeah.
We don't want to have that go as an uncontrolled mm-hmm. burn.
Sure.
So, again, I'll be talking with the city building official and community development director, Jake Riley, about how do we want to come at it and work with the owner.
And with the kind of property right there, I know it's on Water Street technically, but it's right on Highway 3, right?
Yep.
If you're driving down Highway 3 to Dairy Queen, you'll see it. What kind of challenge does that pose to, like, this situation? Because you're right on a busy state highway.
Well, and what was interesting too is these things that I'd been working through my head in planning for a training mm-hmm. exercise, like, well, there's going to be people on the highway, mm-hmm. there's going to be, I grossly underestimated what kind of turnout this would be.
Sure.
And hazard,
mm-hmm.
For traffic, and you know, there were 5 cop cars there. We didn't know a lot of things. They were still looking to see if there was someone that might have lit this.
Sure.
That's an ongoing investigation now. We had the state fire marshal investigator mm-hmm. down today, and I'm working with NPD on that. But yeah, it was an ideal site to do a burn,
mm-hmm.
because there's nothing around it.
Yeah.
Yet it's in the city where we have city water and sewer, like we did with the Dundas training fire last year.
Yeah.
But it's literally on the front door of kind of Northfield there. It's
yeah.
almost like trying to have a fire in Bridge Square, because
mm-hmm.
the entire Greenville Bridge, there were cars parked, people driving by with their phones on.
Mm-hmm.
And the last thing you want to do is have some, you know, it's like have another crash or something like that because of something, even that you're doing training.
Yeah. And speaking of another incident, you actually I don't know if this helped with the training, but you had another call during the middle of this, kind of on the opposite side of town. How does a fire department of on-call volunteers,
great question,
manage having multiple fire calls at a time?
Yep. And so, again, you want to have the resources at the scene that you need. And in this case, we basically emptied the hall.
Yeah.
We had every piece of apparatus there, but you decide which apparati you're going to engage.
Sure.
Right? So we had one engine that was tied up to the hydrant.
Mm-hmm. Couldn't leave.
Couldn't
easily.
Leave. We knew that we weren't going to do any aerial operations because of the power line hazards.
Sure.
So then it's just like looking at the bench at your team.
Yeah.
Is you're saying, so-and-so is on the bench right now, but I know they're ready. So you always want to keep apparatus in ready state.
Sure.
So like the first engine that we got there, we were making a hit with that without connecting to the hydrant. The second engine, we connected to the hydrant, and then we moved that hose over so that first apparatus was ready to go.
Yeah.
And so then you got to make sure that people are working as a crew so that if that truck needs to go, you get your...
Sure.
The people that, because we never switch seats.
Oh, so once you get into a truck, that's the truck you stay with for the night.
Duration of the thing.
And
so that's your crew, because that also acts as another way of accountability. And that doesn't matter if we go to a fire alarm somewhere, where's so-and-so? Oh, wait, they didn't come out yet. Okay, we wait for them.
Sure.
So we took that crew and we sent that ladder out to that other call. But then, then you're also hearing it thinking, what's that going to develop into?
Sure.
So part of the incident commander's job is to be thinking, okay, now are we going to have to call mutual? If this turns into something, is this going to be mutual aid? Are we going to free up some stuff? So that has to, again, it's no different than kind of the coach running the team.
Yeah. Well, very interesting to hear about that. Going back now to the fire on Water Street, you've mentioned the state fire marshal was in to begin the investigation. Is there also a criminal investigation kind of being activated? Is that something we can comment on?
What I can say is, whenever there's any kind of a suspicious fire, that brings in law enforcement.
Yeah.
And then, NAFRS, we don't have anybody who specializes in investigations. And it would be really hard with the call volume that we have to really even be proficient at that. Those are real perishable skills.
Sure.
And in something, let's say this situation where there wasn't a heck of a lot left, right? So where arson investigators are able to come in is like something's noticed and it's extinguished right away and it does some damage, but there's evidence like was there an accelerant? Was there, video cameras, all these different things to say what would have caused that? In this situation, again, there's not a lot of evidence left.
Yeah.
And we knew that. But let's say if we don't treat it that way as a controlled scene, we've all watched enough of those shows that, your crime scene was bunk, right? You had a contaminated crime scene. So we want to preserve that until the investigation takes its course.
Yeah.
So again, it's like no different than that. But yes, because if somebody purposely lit that, that's a crime. And so we have to preserve that like any other crime scene. So today when I met with the fire marshal investigator, we had a Northfield PD investigator that was there with us, and we all kind of talked it through. The investigator took a bunch of pictures, and so we have it as a documented case.
And I'm curious, the state fire marshal, can they press criminal charges, or does that have to go through like a local police department?
I believe that it's the latter, is that the investigator is like an expert witness.
Oh, interesting. Okay.
Yet they're also, they're a state.
Yeah.
So if it would go to court, the investigator would come to court as presenting. It's sort of almost like bringing in the BCA.
Sure.
So if let's say it's a death and the PD brings in the BCA, Bureau of Criminal Apprehension in Minnesota, and they assist with the investigation, then but the local jurisdiction is the one who I believe, and this would be a good Jeff Schrepfer question.
Yeah.
But I believe any actual criminal would go through the city attorney and prosecution.
Interesting. Well, very, very good. Any other comments you have on this call, on this situation, or just news from the Northfield Fire Department?
Yeah, I want to just talk a little bit about the call that we were diverted to.
Yeah.
It was a call that turned out to be someone was smoking on a deck.
Okay.
And put it out in their we'll call it an ashtray. I don't know exactly what it was. And it smoldered, and it started the vinyl siding on fire.
Oh, really? So is that close?
So, okay, yes. Yeah. And I didn't go to that. Jesse Faust, assistant chief, went to that scene. Mm-hmm. It sounded like it was extinguished or it kind of burnt itself out at that point. But think about if that would have been at 2 in the morning.
Mm-hmm.
Don't smoke on your deck. Mm-hmm. Smoke away from the house. Don't use plastic receptacles to put mm-hmm. that stuff in. Don't put it in a potted plant, which are full of peat and moss.
Mm-hmm.
I've had handfuls of fires in as many years of smoking materials flicked into the mulch, flicked into the whatever, and mm-hmm. hours later, they mm-hmm. start the exterior of the house on fire. And if it starts the exterior on the house fire, it's going to go up the eaves, into the attic, and it's mm-hmm. going to be a teardown.
Yeah, and this is also a good reminder, too. Today we are recording this on Thursday, May 8th. We'll be airing it on the 9th. If you listen to it on our website, you'll hear it on today on Thursday. But this Saturday is the cleanup days in Dundas and Northfield.
Perfect.
And declutter.
Yes.
No, I remember I was listening back to your last interview to get some news stories, and I remember hearing that declutter, too. So, yes, a good
time
to declutter. Make sure you put out your cigarettes and any other barbecues and such.
Yep.
So anything else, Tom?
No, thanks for the opportunity.
Of course. Thank you. That was Northfield Area Fire Chief Tom Nelson discussing a situation that happened last night here in Northfield.